Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
This has been a roller coaster of a day for us. Trading away Isaiah and Jay and Ante, but especially Isaiah and Jay, who have been such a big part of our team and our success and our Celtic culture as leaders of our team. Very, very difficult day. At the same time, a very exciting time for one of the best offensive players in the league, an NBA champion, an Olympic champion, an all-star, and with some of his best years ahead of him at just 25 years old. Looking forward to the opportunity to working with Kyrie and getting a chance to see him in a Celtic uniform.
That's Danny Ainge, president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, talking about his club's big trade with the Cleveland Cavaliers. As Ainge said, the Celtics dealt all-star point guard Isaiah Thomas, forward Jay Crowder, and Croatian center Ante Zizic to the Cavaliers to get another all-star point guard, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie requested a trade last month. In addition, the Celtics also gave up a first-round pick in the 2018 NBA draft to acquire Kyrie Irving, the 2012 NBA Rookie of the Year, and a four-time All-Star. In a teleconference with basketball writers and reporters, Ainge talked about the timeline involved in making the trade.
It presented itself. It wasn't available earlier in the summer, this same opportunity. And these are very difficult decisions, as you can imagine. We face these difficult decisions at all times during the year. You never know when something might present itself, but an opportunity for us presented itself, even though it is a high price tag. It is a great value that we're giving up. We love Isaiah and love Jay Crowder, and we're just getting to know Ante Zizic, who we've watched and nurtured over the last year and given up a quality first-round pick. But, you know, acquiring a 25-year-old perennial all-star, a player that fits a timeline for us and is a fantastic offensive player, is one of the best offensive players in the league. You have to pay a heavy price.
As Danny Ainge says, that heavy price includes giving up a player he loves, Isaiah Thomas.
You know, Isaiah had just an amazing season this year and entertained us all, the whole city of Boston, and everybody fell in love with him. You know, he's such an underdog because of his size and his heart and his spirit in which he plays, and it was very challenging to make this decision.
Danny Ainge and the Celtics lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers 4-1 less than 3 months ago in the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. The Cavaliers then went on to the NBA Finals, where they lost 4-1 to the Golden State Warriors. The new-look Celtics and the new-look Cavaliers will renew their rivalry on October 17th in Cleveland, where the Cavs will host the Celtics in the season opener for both clubs. It should be fun watching Kyrie Irving and Isaiah Thomas play against each other, but this time around in new uniforms.
They're playing
Kemi Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
You know, without you guys, I wouldn't be where I'm at.
So I really want to say thank you to the fans because we owe the fans an exciting fight. And I think, you know, I'm happy that it's number 50th. But it's a great matchup, you know, and I'm happy for the fans.
That's Floyd Mayweather, happy for the fans and thanking the fans outside T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's where the unbeaten 40-year-old Mayweather will take on Irish mixed martial arts specialist Conor McGregor on Saturday night in perhaps the year's biggest fight. Critics have called Mayweather versus McGregor more spectacle than an actual boxing match. Mayweather, one of the greatest boxers of all time, has also been called perhaps the best defensive fighter of all time. Some are wondering whether Conor McGregor can even land a clean punch in his pro boxing debut. McGregor doesn't seem fazed, though. He told the fans outside T-Mobile Arena that he'll take out Mayweather quickly.
I believe he'll be unconscious inside one round. I've been fighting my whole life, so it's just another day for me. Another fight. I've already whooped one of the faces of boxing. I'm going to whoop another August 26th.
Conor McGregor has adjusted his training to prepare for his first official pro boxing bout. McGregor is used to 5 5-minute rounds in mixed martial arts fights, or 25 minutes total. On Saturday night in Las Vegas, McGregor must be prepared to box 12 3-minute rounds, 36 total minutes. Only two of McGregor's 24 MMA fights have lasted beyond the second round, and only one has gone the full five. So McGregor has focused a lot of his training on conditioning, sparring up to 12 full rounds at a time. In McGregor's words, "I feel absolutely amazing. We are prepared for every possible outcome." For his part, Floyd Mayweather last fought almost 2 years ago, a 12-round unanimous decision victory against Andre Berto. Mayweather versus McGregor, Saturday night in Las Vegas. Encourage our VOA listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOASunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. KMJ, the morning chef, whose Twitter handle is @KMJohnAir. That's @KMJONAir. Sent me a nice tweet from Ghana. The morning chef tweeted, "The Sunny Side of Sports is one of the finest sports presentations I've ever heard. Keep it up, Sunny. So much love from Ghana, the morning chef, serving up a delightful tweet at my Twitter page, the morning chef." Yes, thank you for that delicacy. Our Voice of America listeners might also like to know that over my sporty cubicle here in Washington are a couple of photos taken when I made my first trip to Ghana in 2001. One shows me and my late great colleague Hot Rod Thomas sitting at our dining table in the capital, Accra, getting ready to partake of some smoked bat. Yes, indeed. Eat it up, smoked bat. And the other shows some Ghanaian youth soccer players holding a Sunny Side of Sports banner in Kumasi.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me. I'm Heather Maxwell for Music Time in Africa every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. 22 years ago, the South African Fabian Lans swapped ballet to do something very different, motorsport. The 30-year-old Lans has since broken barriers and achieved success competing in male-dominated kart racing. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to this feature profile of Fabian Lans by reporter Darren Taylor in Pretoria.
Pounding music accompanies a practice session at Swartkops Raceway. Smells of oil and fuel fill the air. Drivers with their names emblazoned on their jumpsuits prepare to race. One of them is a slim young woman with long brown hair. Fabian Lans's racing career started at this racetrack more than two decades ago when she was offered a chance to drive a kart.
I think you could have walked faster than what I drove. I went that slow. But somehow the bug bit and I was like, no, I actually really like this. I was like 8 years old.
Several years of intense competitions against boys followed.
I got bullied a lot, not physically or anything like that, but on the track, you know, they push you out, they bump you off. You're sort of isolated by yourself because it's in that time there were much less girls racing.
Lan says her father, a former saloon car racer, forced her to toughen up.
Eventually he said, that's it. If you don't drive left of them, right of them, over them, under them, or whatever you need to do to get past, we're going to stop racing. So I had to make a plan.
That plan, she says, was to drive much more aggressively. Footage from a camera on board Fabian Lans's 125cc kart shows her racing on a track in Florida, the United States, at speeds sometimes reaching 100 miles per hour. She's known as Iron Lady on the international karting circuit.
I've been labeled the fast girl from the south. I do my annual return at world finals and things like that. When they see me, they're like, yeah, she's here. She's the crazy one, that's cool.
Despite Lance's take-no-prisoners driving style, she says she's had only one major crash.
I got bumped from behind, and I rolled over the guy in front of me, and I landed on my hand and damaged my finger.
Lance is used to racing around the globe, and she has a few special places to drive in.
I think my most favorite one would be Belgium. I really liked the country, the track, the food, everything was really nice. The people were awesome. Italy is another one because the competition's really stiff there, and I normally always want to go and race where the most competition is, because to be the best, you have to beat the best.
Eager to give back to the sport, Lance has opened an academy at Swarkops. Here she trains youngsters to race karts. Some are so poor that they don't even own bicycles. A few of her pupils roll around the track. At such speed, it's hard to imagine that they're between the ages of 5 and 7. 5-year-old Casey Ensa Smith says karting is amazing.
You're actually riding and you go quite fast. Sometimes you can get scared.
Lance's protégés are mostly all winners, but drivers like 6-year-old Alex Carl just want to talk about the drama they've experienced on the track.
When I was 3, my steering wheel broke and I fell out of my car and other racers were just going right past me. I just rolled into the tires, then my car broke.
His friend Josh LaRue isn't to be outdone.
My friend MK, he spun and then I went over him. I fell out of my whole body, out of my go-kart. Then I bit my tongue and was bleeding from there to there.
Lance warms the kart engine up before another practice. She says everywhere she goes, people ask how she feels about being a pioneer in motorsport. Her answer is usually the same, and given with a cheeky smile. I'm nothing special, just one of the boys. Darren Taylor for VOA News, Pretoria.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Ray, and keep counting them down, buddy. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Wednesday?
Well, the big talk you mentioned earlier in the show, the big trade sending Isaiah Thomas from the Boston Celtics to the Cleveland Cavaliers, sending Kyrie Irving from the Cavs up to Boston. Lots of player reaction on social media. Dwight Howard called it the hashtag game changer deal. So this is giving it the due that many people say it deserves. Dwayne Wade, I like what he tweeted out. It was just an emoji of a set of bulging eyes. Like, can you believe what we're seeing here? Look at this. But the question on many people's minds on social media, what does LeBron James think of this? Because, of course, LeBron James and Kyrie Irving have had a little bit of a back and forth between those two. Well, LeBron retweeted a video where a Cleveland fan has Kyrie Irving's jersey on the ground. It looks like he's about to drop a match on the jersey to set it on fire. As we've seen before, when players get traded, fans get upset. They light the jerseys on fire. But instead of dropping a match, Sonny, he drops a piece of paper that says, thank you so much. So a little bit of deception in this video.
Interesting.
But it seems to be the sentiment from Cleveland fans. They're very happy. Of course, Kyrie helped to get them that championship with LeBron. So this video said, thank you very much. LeBron retweeted this video, and he said, that's the only way to be to the kid. Special talent / guy. Nothing but respect, and what a ride it was our 3 years together. So despite that animosity that we've talked about, LeBron is wishing him nothing but the best as he moves on to Boston. Maybe he's happy to see him go. That might be why. But a lot of people pointing out LeBron could not have won that championship alone. Kyrie certainly
Good
played
point.
A big role. So I think LeBron owes a debt of gratitude to Kyrie Irving there. And as we talk about this trade, all the winners, of which there are many, both sides seem to get a pretty good deal out of this trade. There is one big loser. NBA 2K18, the video game, they just released their cover earlier this month featuring Kyrie Irving in his Cleveland Cavaliers uniform on the cover of that video game. So that makes them the big loser in this trade. It's only about a month until that video game is officially released. So fans are saying, is it too late to change it? You might want to swap that out for a Celtics uniform. Note, Sonny, this is not the first time this has happened, though. Football great Brett Favre appeared on the cover of EA's Madden football game in 2009 wearing a Green Bay Packer jersey right before he was traded to the New York Jets. So this has happened before. In that case, they actually sent out a downloadable link. You could print out a new cover. I don't know if they're going to do that for this NBA 2K18. We'll have to see.
And Andrew, our VOA basketball fan, should mark their calendars for October 17th when the Cleveland Cavaliers host none other than the Boston Celtics in the season opening game for both clubs. That should be a lot of attention surrounding that game.
Oh, there'll be some trending hashtags around that for sure.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, we talked about this big NBA trade. There was a big trade that didn't happen with Barcelona. Barcelona announced on their Twitter and Facebook that they had acquired Angel Di Maria from Paris Saint-Germain. The only problem with this, Sonny, was that the messages weren't from the club, but they were from hackers. Mm-mm. Barcelona had their accounts hacked, so they quickly had to issue a statement saying that their accounts had been compromised, and in fact, no, there was no trade for Angel Di Maria. But fans looking at that, getting a lot of attention from fans, and a lot of people saying just goes to show that you can't always believe what you see on social media. However, these next two stories you can believe, even though they are a little out there. And we start with ESPN, the broadcaster here in the U.S., and a journalist that works for ESPN named Robert Lee. He covers football games from the University of Virginia. And, of course, we've talked about the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, Virginia, where there's been a lot of racial unrest here in the U.S. Well, ESPN announced that they are pulling Robert Lee from the games because he has the same name as Robert E. Lee, who was the general who led the Confederate Army during the American Civil War and fought to preserve slavery. They said that they didn't want Robert Lee, the journalist, to become a meme around Robert E. Lee, the Civil War general. Fans generally think this is ridiculous.
Maybe an overreaction on ESPN's part?
That's one of the big words we're seeing, overreaction, some words that we can't publish on or speak on air and publish on social media. ESPN's one person said, hates racism so much that they're punishing an Asian man for having an Asian last name. So their effort to try to not be racist actually ended up making it kind of racist. So ESPN did issue a statement saying that seemed like the right decision at the time, but wasn't a great one. But speaking of great decisions, Sonny, we talk about the intersection of sports and social media, but it went to a whole new level recently when Bladick Town Football Club, not necessarily a football club that everybody would know the name of, they're playing in England's FA Cup. They had to sub in someone in the last 10 minutes of their game, and they looked on the bench, and who did they sub in? Their social media manager to play against North Greenford United. This guy was actually in tweeting the game, live tweeting out updates, and they had to put out a tweet that said, well, we're not going to be updating this for the next 10 minutes because we have to send in our social media manager. He laced up his boots and he went in.
Did he have a hashtag on his shirt?
No, he didn't have a hashtag on his shirt, but he did apparently, according to one article I read, he ran into the game. He still had his phone in his hand. They had to be reminded to leave the phone at the bench. But people saying this is the dream, of course, when you get called up from the bench, you're just there tweeting or you're the equipment manager or something and say, you, get in the game. And this is what happened for this gentleman. Got to play in the game, but a pretty cool stuff, getting them a lot of attention on social media.
Andrew, we have the U.S. Open beginning on August 28th, and I understand you have a programming note for our VOA listeners.
Yeah, a friend of the show, Giddy Nathan of Deadspin, he and I talked about the men's and women's field coming up for the U.S. Open, a little bit of a preview, some of the names to watch, some of the big names that are out of the tournament, and maybe some potential wild cards that could make a deep run into the tournament, maybe win the whole thing. And I know you're going to air that over the next couple days, so look forward to hearing that on the show tomorrow and Friday.
We look forward to hearing that, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the August 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Cornelius Tenner. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The Famine Early Warning Systems Network, or FuseNet, a U.S. government-funded provider of information and analysis on food insecurity, is signaling that the hunger and nutrition situation in southeastern Ethiopia is deteriorating, with numerous households in the drought-ridden Somali regional state already experiencing severe food insecurity. Likewise in Kenya, although the situation is not as dire, insufficient March to May rainfall has left people living in the country's arid and semi-arid regions at risk of crisis-level food insecurity in the near future. In 2011, the Horn of Africa suffered one of the worst droughts on record. The next few years saw subpar rainfall, which means that the hardest-hit regions did not have the chance to recover, either for growing grain or replenishing pasturage. Then came the 2015-2016 season and the abnormally warm El Niño phase of the global weather pattern. As a result, the most fragile regions in the arid Horn of Africa once again saw the deterioration of agricultural and livestock production, rising food prices, and a future wrought with hunger, malnutrition, and resulting diseases. Today, 7.8 million Ethiopians are suffering acute food insecurity, as are 2.6 million Kenyans. That is why the United States announced in early August that it will deliver more than $169 million worth of humanitarian aid for Ethiopia and Kenya. In doing so, the United States is scaling up emergency food assistance. The funds will provide such necessities as specialized nutrition supplies to treat malnourished children, safe drinking water, and essential health services. In Ethiopia, this assistance will provide food aid for about 3 million people. In addition to aid for Kenyans affected by the drought, the United States is also providing support for refugees in Kenya who have fled drought and conflict in their own countries. It is not a famine, but it is rising up to the levels of getting close to famine, said Matt Nims, acting director of Food for Peace at the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. That is why we want to act now, so that we're not into that stage.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss why ailing African leaders often travel abroad for their medical care. Should this be an acceptable practice? We'll delve into the issue on Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks. Get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. Cheers, cheers. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Now there's a youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally.
I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.